2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another DFS Army Bold Calls Fantasy Football Podcast. We're in the heart of the offseason. We're in the heart of Corona quarantine season. But best ball leagues don't stop. Fantasy football talk doesn't stop. And we're going to keep it going because we need some entertainment. So today, I want to welcome Chris Felicetta from RotoGrinders Blogs and SB Nation. He's a best ball specialist. We're welcoming Chris to the show. What's up, Chris?
Not much, man. Happy to be joining you guys. As I've said on here a couple of times, I love the content you do. And anytime you need me to hop on, I'm more than happy to do so.
We appreciate it, my man. And as always, season long says in the house. What's up, says?
Hello, hello. Yeah, no, I'm always happy to talk to you, geek. And then, I love when I do the pods with Chris, too. So I figured let's combine the forces and see what happens. Put a little extra in the stew.
Let's get them all together. A lot going on. There's a lot going on in the football world. A lot of us aren't, not everybody's paying close attention, but there's a lot going on in the football world. Free agency on fire. It's affecting best ball ADPs. It's affecting our expectations of where players are going to be going in the draft. Lots happening, but mainly what we've had is a couple of weeks of free agency and some changes, some situations that we really need to pay close attention to. And I want to talk about some of those. And you know I loves me the running back position. So I want to start with some big name free agent running back moves and what we think in terms of these players, how it's going to affect them. And I have some opinions, but I want to start with you guys first. So let's talk about Melvin Gordon.
Yes. Yes.
Melvin Gordon to Denver. Now, Chris, I'm going to go there. Is this a spot like when we're, if you're holding Melvin Gordon in your dynasty league, are you happy that he went to Denver? Are you like, yeah, that's a good spot for him? Or are you like,
you know what? I think a few weeks ago, you would have rather seen him land in somewhere where he's like a clear number one. Like if he would have landed in Atlanta, where like Gurley did, or even maybe Miami, where he's got just an unfettered backfield to himself. Like Philip, I don't think Philip Lindsay is going to go away. I think Gordon kills Lindsay's value from a fantasy perspective for the most part. But I do think that Denver's offense could be a little better than people expect this year. I'm higher on Drew Lock than I feel like most people are. Like I've seen, he's like one of the last quarterbacks to go in every best ball. I think that kid's got a little moxie and talent. And I love Cortland Sutton. I know you guys are both big on him, if I'm correct, too. So I could see that Denver offense with Fant being a little better than people expect. And I thought Gordon wasn't bad last year. Like he wasn't when he came back. I think I heard a stat say that he still had 9 touchdowns last year, despite missing the.
Literally would bring him in on the goal line last season. They were feeding him those touchdowns, but he wasn't bad. It's just volume.
Yeah, he's pretty much going in the third round in the best balls that I've done. So I think that's fair. I don't think that's like a great value or a bad value. I just think that's fair. What do you guys think as far as
where he's going? Since the signing happened, his ADP has actually dropped. He's going a little bit more now towards the end of the fourth round. So almost on the 4-5 turn, which I think is an overcorrection. I think that there was a perception that it was going to be a 50-50 timeshare with Lindsay. Now, the beat reporters there seem to think that that Lindsay getting market share is exaggerated, but I think this is a 55-45 split. Now, a lot of people are quick to point to Philip Lindsay not being a big pass catcher, but if you look at his early game logs, he's still getting 6 to 7 targets a game. It's true, he didn't total a lot of catches, but he does have that skill set. Philip Lindsay is overachieved in his first 2 years in the league. He's had 1,000 yards back-to-back seasons. He's a fan favorite. He's a local. He is going to be there. That said, I still think this is better for Melvin Gordon's fantasy value than it would be if he was with Austin Eckler, who we have made it very clear. We think it is an elite. Well, I've made it very clear. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but is an elite fantasy RB1 for for fantasy purposes because he catches so many passes. So
yeah.
Rolling back to Melvin Gordon, though, I like the spot for him given what the options were that it was available to him.
I am not somebody who believes in hope and change and that kind of thing, right? And if people are hoping and speculating that all of a sudden this Denver team is now going to be a workhorse one-back system, they're sorely mistaken. Yeah, Lindsey's good and he's talented. It's kind of like the Tariq Cohen situation in Chicago where that dude is so good that somebody behind him just cannot take those snaps away. You have to feed Cohen. You've got to feed Lindsey. He's a good player. So I think Gordon's fine, and I like where he's at. I'm going to feed you guys, do a little game we like to play here. I'm going to feed you guys a little would you rather with Melvin Gordon right now around the area of his ADP. So would you rather Melvin Gordon or Devin Singletary from Buffalo?
Go ahead, Chris.
That's an easy Singletary for me.
Easy Singletary. There you go. I like it. Alan, same.
Melvin Gordon.
There it is. A disagreement. Very close in ADP, these two guys. Would you rather, without knowing where he goes, probable number one pick, Jonathan Taylor at running back, first running back taken, or without knowing? Now, we don't know. Or Melvin Gordon, we know where he's at. Chris, I'll start with you again.
I had that decision last night, and I took Taylor over him.
Yeah, that is not enough.
I took Taylor in the third. I love Taylor though. I think I'm higher on Taylor than most.
He's quickly become the consensus one. I mean, the geek and I have a little different, but I don't have a good reason to tell you why you're wrong here. So, I think that. So let's say Taylor lands in Kansas City and he's right off at the 32nd pick of the real NFL draft, and right off the bat he's sharing with Damian Williams. You still like him there?
For me, no. I mean, if he's sharing with Damian Williams, then no, I'm not right. I wouldn't take him over but, there. That's kind of the risk when you're doing these best balls pre-draft. You're kind of willing to embrace that uncertainty, and I'm just kind of betting on the talent here.
It's all about that speculation, but it's all about trying to figure out where do we really like Melvin Gordon. Would you rather says Melvin Gordon or Chris Carson? Great years, but seems to be threatened by more and more by Penny right now.
I've scratched Chris Carson off my list. I have no faith in him to stay healthy. I think there's still a chance that Seattle adds one of the better running backs in this draft. I just don't see how they can move forward with Super Bowl aspirations with those guys. I mean, Chris Carson is a beast. His running style it definitely invites injury. He has not stayed healthy throughout his short career. He's a great running back, but I can't take Chris Carson in that range at all.
You're taking Melvin Gordon. Okay. I mean, that's fair. Again, these are fair questions. How about this one? This is not easy. Assuming that the Steelers don't pick up a replacement, the Terminator, James Conner, or Melvin Gordon, would you rather? Best ball. You're making a decision. It's fourth round. What are you going to do, Chris?
That's a tough one. I've avoided Connor though. I just don't trust him, man. Like I don't trust him to stay healthy. He hasn't shown the ability to shoulder the load in the same way that Lev Bell has. And I think I'd go Melvin Gordon over there.
That's fair.
How about you,
Aaron? All of the guys I named, I just want to be clear. Every one of the now these ADPs could be moving. But all of those guys have ADPs below Melvin Gordon according to current, MFL 10 / RT Sports ADP data on Fantasy Pros right now. So those were all guys a little bit after Melvin Gordon per that data. And I just wanted to see if maybe he's going a little too high for the situation. I think so too, but I do, and I'm not on board with Drew Lock. I'm just not on board with that yet. I'm not sold. I'm worried. I like running backs on teams that win games. I like that Denver, essentially, they seem to find ways to win. They're not like a scrub team. It's not the Jets. But they find ways to, like, it's not the Dolphins, right?
I'm somewhere between you guys. Now, I believe in Drew Lock, but I wouldn't hesitate to discard him for a better option. And I think there is a better option available. I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being the Cam Newton spot.
It could be. That would be interesting. All right, let's move on. Don't want to stay on one player too long. Next player on our list, we've got a major free agent acquisition for the Falcons in Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley, number one pick just 2 years ago in everybody's fantasy football draft. Dropped a little bit last year, had some knee issues, got a lot of work, didn't really produce early in the season, came on a little bit late. Now he's going to Atlanta, a team that has never really been known for producing incredible fantasy production from the running back position, but also a team that has no interest or no desire slash motivation to sort of maintain this guy, to try to keep him healthy throughout a year, not to run him into the ground. It's a one-year deal. So if I'm Atlanta, I'm running this guy till there's no cartilage left on that fucking knee. I don't care. He's gone next year anyway. I don't give a shit.
I mean, the 1 year deal that they gave him, just backing up a little bit, the Rams cut him to save salary, and obviously they didn't think that he would be useful or worth the money, but they still had to pay about $8 million of his, I think it was $13 million salary. And then he was able to double dip and get 1 year, $6 million from the Atlanta Falcons. So he's really still making his $10 million plus. So that's why he was able to do it.
Now, are you personally worried about Todd Gurley's finances? Because
No. What I'm saying is that...
You, me, and Chris.
I'm not worried about his finances, but what I'm saying is that the one-year $6 million deal to me says that they are not going to hold back. They are going to just go get everything squeeze every bit of juice out of that lemon for Todd Gurley. They're going to put him on the field. He's going to be the pass catcher. He's going to be their workhorse. They may slowly ramp him up, and then if the season's looking good, really step on the gas. But with pick 48, the Atlanta Falcons, I don't think there's even a doubt in my mind that they are going to take one of the top running back prospects, which, again, depending on which one it is, could really be a problem for Todd Gurley. But as it stands right now, he's the lead guy on that team, but I'm proceeding with caution.
So as of today, we're still before the NFL draft. Your concern is, what if Atlanta drafts a young stud running back? That's a legitimate concern. Atlanta will need one of those guys. How about you, Chris? Gurley situation, you know, Atlanta going to run him into the ground potentially. He is still Todd Gurley. Looked a lot better the second half of the year. Did not look like damaged goods. Here, you know, going RB16 currently as far as ADP goes. And, you know, if he is a bargain, who are some of the people ahead of him that you might consider taking him in front of? Because I'm not seeing too many.
I mean, he in the draft I did last night, he was the first pick of the third round. So at that, I don't see myself taking him there. Like, if the guy who took him went Saquon, Drake in the second, and then Gurley in the third. If he's your third back, though, that's kind of sneaky in a best ball format, I think. But the receivers that you're passing up, like you're passing up Amari Cooper, Kenny Galladay, DJ Moore, Odell Beckham, AJ Brown. Are you willing to pass up those guys on Mr. Old Arthritic Knee Gurley? I don't think I would, but I can certainly see the reasoning behind it. I could see the logic to it, but gun to my head, I'm taking one of those elite receivers, or the way, you know, second tier elite receivers, the way I look at it.
That Atlanta team just does not produce fantasy points to the running back position.
Devontae Freeman
one
have a number
good year? Yeah, one good score. Season for Freeman. One. He was there for seven seasons, six. He has one good season. One. So I mean, everybody remembers it, but it was just one. And it probably was a different offensive coordinator. I could see the argument for both. I do like to load up on running backs in my best ball league at the expense of stud wide receivers. So I could see making that move. And I love that guy's start, by the way.
I know, right?
That's come pretty man, Dreezy. Did you say Jacobs?
Barkley.
Oh, he went Barkley over CMC, though, which, I mean, can you guys justify that?
No. What's it called? Marshall Faulk said the other day in an interview on NFL Network that he thought basically CMC was him plus. Like he thinks when it's all said and done that CMC is going to hold all the pass catching records for running backs and runs better. And he's between he's going to go down on the Mount Rushmore of running backs. When they talk about football in 40 years from now, they're going to be talking about Jim Brown, you know, Barry Sanders, Christian McCaffrey, like he's going to be on that list.
You want to talk about getting too cute?
That's getting too cute, right?
Like he, oh, I'm smart. You ain't outsmarting shit by not taking Christian McCaffrey. You get lucky. He's tier one and Barkley's tier three. We don't even have a tier two. There's right. not, because I'm buying a full blast WR1 and a full blast RB1 in one player. You don't get two players for one. It's worth the first pick because I get two players, two studs. And then, okay, my third stud is my second pick. That's how good Christian McCaffrey has been. And I think he'll do even better with semi-competent quarterback play. Especially Teddy Bridgewater, who wants to check down to the running back all the time. It's like you couldn't ask for better.
Yeah. The only problem with that is, and again, this is just nitpicking at threads here, but Teddy Bridgewater didn't feed Alvin Kamara too much, too many checkdowns. I know that was a perception that he did. And, you know, only because I dove into it a little bit today, I was looking at those game logs. So I don't think that's going to apply. I think that they realize Christian McCaffrey is the offense.
But it's not a realization. They're not checking down to McCaffrey. Those are designed
That's
pass options. It's not the same thing. Austin Eckler does not do his damage off of checkdowns. Those are designed passing plays.
He's running wheel routes like as good as anybody in the NFL. Yeah. I took Austin Eckler in my first pick on the turn at 12 last night, and no hesitation. I love that pick.
No hesitation. He was going in the third round when we started best ball in January. In February, and I told you I predict he will be pick 1.07, 1.8 when it's all said and done. Mike Clay from ESPN, his rankings just came out today. He moved Austin Eckler all the way up to pick 15 overall, and he was like, you know, we were talked about him having him like deep in the third round, not only a month ago. We're ahead of this curve for Austin Eckler, a running back that catches 90 passes. I mean, come on, how can you not want to take that guy? You know,
Eckler, according, you know, let's actually just stick with the running back position because I'm liking this topic and it's, I think, one of the most important for best ball. So let's keep it going because I really love these things. Austin Eckler to me is the most underrated right now.
Yeah.
Again, according to this ADP that I'm looking at, and you guys are saying he was like second, third round.
No, he was saying that Chris said he took him on the turn. So like
I took him at 12, number 12 overall.
That's right. I mean, who are you taking ahead of him? I'm going to tell you who I would take Austin Eckler ahead of. I think he's actually probably he should probably be ranked fifth.
Wow.
At the running back position, I could see taking Eckler over Kamara.
Yes.
I can see taking him definitely over Joe Mixon.
How about Aaron Jones?
Yes, I could take him over Aaron Jones.
The problem, and Chris, I'm curious your thoughts on this one, is we don't know who the quarterback in the Chargers is even going to be. And that is a...
Wouldn't you think that it's going to be Tyrod to start and then possibly Herbert, the Oregon kid, or Tua, whatever rookie they pick there at six? Wouldn't that be your guess that you're going to get maybe half a season of Tyrod and then whatever rookie they insert?
Half a season of whatever veteran, right? Tyrod is right now, but there's still three quarterbacks that are probably equal or better than him in Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, and Jameis. Yeah. So, but yes,
I mean, that's the only real quarterback that would be legit. I don't think Cam Newton, we're talking about Cam Newton like he's not damaged goods. Cam Newton is not good anymore. He's damaged goods and he's finished as a player.
I don't know if that's true, but nobody has ever really come back from the Liz Frank injury except for the only one I've seen do it recently is Hollywood Brown. But other than that, that Liz Frank is usually a death sentence for especially someone at the quarterback position.
He's damaged goods. That guy is not he didn't have a skill set that translates well if he's not able to run the football like what he used to do. So I don't think that's an upgrade over anybody, but Winston's fine. I mean, you know, I throw some interceptions, get him some. Chris, can we get Winston some freaking contact lenses? I mean, is that such a big
LASIK thing? Has happened. He's can see now. He got the LASIK.
He couldn't see.
Got the LASIK.
Shit.
Okay. It's so frustrating. I loved James. I mean, anybody who played daily loved Jameis as a fantasy quarterback, but it's impossible to try to draft him right now because you don't know where the heck he's going to be.
No, like, I can't draft tell him. You. I don't know who's talking because I took my glasses off. I can't see. I can't tell. I don't know. I'm throwing the football. Who?
Right. I don't know. It's like that scene in Rocky IV. I see three of them out there. And he goes, hit the one in the middle.
What? Who am I supposed to hit? Jameis's been out there just looking at colors. He's like, if the two teams have similar color jerseys, he's dead. He's like, I don't know.
Imagine he came back post-LASIK this year with like Aaron Rodgers' accuracy. Would that be like just
that would be unbelievable? That'd be like a Freaky Friday episode, you know?
This is literally when Charlie Sheen gets the glasses in
Major League. Yeah, that's great.
He becomes awesome. Like that could happen. He's like, oh, I was embarrassed. I didn't want to wear glasses. Like, all right, that can happen. All right, we just went off crazy. I want to talk about some other guys. Another guy that I think is being taken too low, and I want your guys' opinion on this. And Alan, you gave me a little nugget of thought. Now, I'm not even going to talk about Kenyon Drezy. You guys, everybody knows my obsession with the Drezy, and he's way, way too cheap, which is why I like that other draft. If he did McCaffrey Drezy, oh my gosh. But yeah. Josh Jacobs, okay, for best ball purposes, and I have pros and cons, and I want to get your guys' opinion on him. Jacobs, coming off a two-down back grinder role, don't like. Not liking that. Playing for a team that's not very good, don't like that either. So those are my negatives. The positives were, and Alan, this is something you told me prior, was that he is a three-down back. They're just kind of working him in.
Do you want me to like review that really quick? So more or less is that in college, Josh Jacobs was a pass catching running back. Damian Harris, who has yet to have any significant run for the Patriots, was the grinder. And when Mayock and Gruden drafted Josh Jacobs, they did it with a plan. And they talked about that plan at the most recent NFL Combine. They said that our plan was to roll Jacobs out and get him used to the blocking schemes, the running portion, and then reintroduce him with the pass catching role. And that's the phase two of Josh Jacobs' development. And remember, he's only 22 years old. He's very young running back. And this year I would expect to see my under over on receptions for him would be 40, and there's upside for a lot more. So I think that you could be, you know, looking at a three down skill set. They're certainly not going to add a running back in this draft. And the next running back behind him is Jalen Richard, who is a pass catching running back, but you know, I mean, he's kind of just a guy at this point.
Chris, what do you say on Josh Jacobs here? He's going ahead of Austin Eckler, which is insanity. Actually, I think he's being drafted pretty appropriately,
I took him on the second on that turn. I took Eckler and Jacobs. That's how I started my draft last night. I love it. I try to get guys, especially in best ball. I want to get an ascendant player. I don't want to try to hope that like somebody who already had their best season that won everybody money is going to replicate that or get back.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Like I want to bet on the season that I think can happen. I think Jacobs, like you said, he's only 22. Do you guys think Carr is going to be the Raiders quarterback this year? I mean, I know they brought Mariota in, but
it's going to be Carr. Mariota is terrible, and there's no way they're going to pay another guy. So,
well, going back again to Mayock, when he was an NFL Network analyst, I looked at his mock draft. He had Mariota ahead of Winston, so he was always a Mariota guy, which is probably the reason they brought him in there. And he was the one that was always pushing Mariota when the field was saying Jameis. So, I mean, again, just a point to note.
Man, if that guy doesn't adjust his opinion after five seasons of horrible, I don't know what the level of stubborn that you have to be.
He comes over as a pretty stubborn guy, that Mike Mayock. I don't know.
He is stubborn. Man, if they think he's the answer, I think they did a poor decision signing. I don't get it.
I mean, it's a backup. They're paying him $8 million. He's a highly paid backup.
That basically locks them into Carr.
They could. I mean, I don't think it locks. I mean, they're he's under contract, I think. But
you need Jameis Winston on that Raiders.
That's
team.
What I was now, thinking.
What are they?
He seems like a Gruden guy, man. Just
all day, and they could have a freaking offense. It's exciting. At least if Winston is nothing, it's an exciting game to watch. Like they're trying to build a new fan base. That's where they go. You want to fucking excite fans with David Carr and his dink and dunk? You can't even excite me when he's min salary on DFS to be like, oh, I love a cheap quarterback more than anyone. There's no one who looks. I'm like, who's the cheap guy? Oh, it's fucking David Carr. I'm not using him. Everyone's like David Carr and cash. No,
I like that. I like that you still call him David Carr, who hasn't played in the NFL in like 10 years.
You know this.
I can't remember David, Derek. I don't know which one is which.
I cannot get it. I wasn't even doing that on purpose. Yeah. It's just what I'm always going to do.
I feel like a lot of these guys, even Ryan Pace, who is the geek's favorite GM of the Chicago Bears. I think trading a fourth round pick for Nick Foles, I think a lot of these moves would not have been made had they realized what the QB market would look like. There's actually a surplus of usable QBs. Again, Andy Dalton's probably going to be released. He's probably better than any of the QBs on the Bears.
Is anybody surprised that Pace, though, overpaid for Foles? And he picked, it's an expensive contract, and just didn't need to give up a fourth. And right. Jaguars trying.
Who was he bidding against? Right,
he's bid against no one. That if I was a Bears fan, I would have no hair. What hairs I have, they would be gone. I would
You'd
just
look like me. You would look like me. Yeah,
yeah. I would just look like Cez.
Pace is lucky that Bill O'Brien is in the league, making him look like slightly less of a donkey. He's like the second biggest donkey of all.
Right. Yeah. After the Hopkins trade, no one remembers that Pace.
Pace just makes hideous Jimmy Graham hang him like he's 25 moves.
Right. No, that's another good point. Yeah.
They need a starting quarterback in Chicago. Like, why? What possible reason? Why not? Foles has failed. I'm sorry. Foles has failed every time outside of Philadelphia. Like, he's just not been who he's just that guy who's he's not successful. He just needs that one system.
Well, he's probably the best backup in the NFL.
And that's fair, but I mean, like, I don't know. I'm just not a guy. Like, give me Jameis Winston on the Bears as the starter, not a backup. You're bringing him in and he starts, and he can't be worse than what they've had. He's a massive improvement over Trubisky. Foles, still an improvement over Trubisky, but I would take, you know, for me, I would take Winston over Foles all day. No question.
I don't 100%.
By the way, what about Winston to the Jaguars?
Well, the Jaguars have a quarterback.
Who?
Gardner Minshew.
Stop.
Well, here's okay. And I think both can agree with it.
Wait, Chris, you need to settle this one.
I think that the best way to build a championship team or a contending team is to get a rookie on a rookie contract and then build the pieces around them. If you think that you have something in Gardner Minshew, that's the cheat code. That's how you build. That's how you can spend on other positions. But once you start paying the quarterback $25 million, give or take, then that really does limit what you could do with some of the other key positions. I think that is the mindset, that there'll be other Jameis Winston. Like, Jameis is going to get a 1-year deal if he even gets a starter position. And if it works out, he'll have bidders for the following year. So I think you at least owe it to yourself as an organization to find out if Gardner Minshew can be competent or even better than that, because, like I said before, that's how Seattle won their championships when Russell Wilson was on that rookie contract.
The Cowboys blew it with Dak. I mean, they had Dak making peanuts, like making backup offensive lineman money for 5-4 years and didn't take advantage of it to enough of an extent. I think they're going to give Minshew a look this year to see what they have. And there's the speculation that they could be tanking for Trevor too. Like, I've heard that bandied about on ESPN and all the talking head shows. So throw Gardner out there. And if he turns into, if the Minshew mania, the mustache magic, all that stuff is real, then you got a cheap quarterback that you could build around. And if not, you know, Lawrence is there.
It's right. It's a low cost investment. He was a 5th round pick. It's the same exact thing that they did with Dak. There's no cost of finding out. You don't find out what you have if you bring in Jameis. And if they bring in Jameis, are they really a championship team? No. Yeah. Are they better? Perhaps. But like you said, it's a no pain option to roll with Minshew for the Jaguars.
The cost is another lost season for Jaguars fans. I mean,
yeah. So we're used to that.
Yeah, I mean, get used to it. But like, who the hell wants that? I don't know. I don't like eating lost seasons as a fan, as a franchise.
But there's upside. There's payoff.
When has there been a possibility to get a top 15 potential quarterback just as like a cheap free agent who's fairly young? I mean, it's just not normally.
I don't think he's going to be that cheap, man. I think he's going to want 20 plus, 18.
He's not getting 20 plus. There's not even a team asking. You could probably get Jameis Winston right now for $12 million.
I mean, I don't think he would take that deal, but sure, you could. He might wait until there's a QB injury, and then
Yeah, I mean, okay, that's not going to work out. No one's paying you more. But I think he would take it because I don't think you have a choice. At some point, when your team tells you to fuck off, we don't want you, and no one else is calling.
I've heard a job. At some point, you need a job.
Yep. So I've heard the other place I heard for Jameis, and then we can get refocused for the last 10 minutes or so of the podcast, was to take a backup job in Pittsburgh. And this may very well be Ben Roethlisberger's last year, or if he even can make it into the season. And that team is already built to win. So I thought, you know, and that coach over there would be Tomlin would be a good match, they said, personality wise with Winston. And that one was being dismissed a little bit, but I thought that would be a really interesting spot if he can't find a home.
I actually do like that, man. I saw a video of Ben Roethlisberger the other day. My man looked like a homeless person. He was not looking like an athlete at all. If he looked like anything, he just looked like somebody you'd see walking on the street. You get to the other side, you're like, I don't know.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. The guy walking around the park with like the shady looking beard that you just want to avoid and walk to the other side of the road.
The coronavirus man.
He looked like somebody. He looked like a coronavirus super spreader, just walking around like coughing in faces.
How many fantasy football names are going to be super spreader or something like that this year, right?
Oh, if we have a season at all. Shh. All right. Don't get into that. Let's be positive. All right.
I can't face that.
I can't think about it. Can you imagine we build all these best ball teams? I don't even want to talk about it. This is not even for thinking. So let's get back to the running back position. All right. My favorite, everybody knows my favorite, Kenyon Drake. He's way undervalued. I want to throw it out to you guys. Who by ADP, there's some, and Drake, second, third rounder, that's kind of a weak sauce pick for me. But I want to throw this to you guys. Undervalued, who is that pick I can get a little bit later at the running back position this year that's going to win me all the monies in the best ball leagues? Okay. Give me a sleeper. Give me a bold call later in the draft.
Yeah.
Okay. Beyond the top 24, let's call it.
Yeah.
Somewhere after.
Chris, you want to go first or you want to think about it while I rattle off here?
Well, I got a couple off the top of my head that I could give you that are going later than I expected. And these are kind of like post-type, sleeper-type guys that like Justice Hill and Darwin Thompson are dudes that I've been getting in like the 13th, 14th type round in best ball, 11th, 12th, in that range depending. But I just think They didn't do much last year. These are the guys that everybody was in love with in best ball drafts last season, and they never really got on the field to any significant extent. But I think I saw enough there that at that price, Ingram and Williams are both guys that have never been like the models of health, and they're both kind of old. They're getting a little longer in the tooth. So if either one of those guys falters, I think you could see a Justice Hill or a Darwin Thompson step up and make a real impact at the round they're being drafted.
Yeah, I mean, certainly at the price, those guys could be like your RB5s, and if they pay off, sure. Those are, again, low-paying options. Some guys that a little bit further up the draft that you'll probably have to take in the RB3s, maybe RB4 if you're lucky. I think that Sony Michel didn't look healthy last year, and I think that they're just going to go grind him out this year. I think that this is a big rebound season for Sony Michel. You can get him in the eighth or ninth round. Doesn't cost you much to find out. And he is the lead back in New England. In New England, guess what? Tom Brady's not there anymore. Whoever it is, they're going to be going to a run heavy attack. So I think Sony Michel can be counted on for about 225 carries. Again, if he gets into the end zone a few times, I trust the offense there to find ways to score. At his price, you could be looking at a screaming value. And the other guy, I mean, we haven't had the draft yet, and we haven't had Devontae Freeman land yet, but I still think that Daryl Henderson's price is pretty fair in the seventh round. They went and moved up, the Rams did, in the draft last year. They didn't even use him. That's disheartening, but they have him on the roster now. They let Todd Gurley go. To me, they don't have any draft picks in the first two rounds. I mean, you got to think that they're not going to use those picks on running backs. I think he's going to become a popular sleeper, but I like him. And that goes along with what you said, Chris, the guys that didn't do anything last year that could pop this year.
Absolutely. I mean, I had Darrell Henderson literally highlighted on my screen here. If no one was to mention him, like, who is the Rams running back if it's not Henderson? Malcolm Brown?
I don't think it's Malcolm Brown. Malcolm Brown is he's not a special talent. Like, not Darrell Henderson at least has that pedigree from college where everybody thought he had that kind of breakout talent. He hasn't really given him the opportunity, but they could have just been riding Gurley into the ground at the end of last year because they knew they were going to cut him anyway. So they're like, might as well get our money's worth here. But
yeah, Yeah. What do you think about who was the other guy that we? Oh yeah, we said Devontae Freeman. Do you think that that's a possible landing spot for him there? Could you see it working there?
Man, it's tough. It's tough to think that the Rams are really going to retread up Devontae Freeman. I don't think Devontae Freeman is really destined for any special sort of role. The guy's always hurt. He's not a special player, and I don't think that he.
Well, this is exactly why he could see him as part of a three-headed monster.
Could
you know?
Be. Could be. What about the San Francisco? Speaking of a three-headed monster, what about the San Francisco trio? I mean, you know, you can get Raheem Mostert for a pretty reasonable price right now. He's going in the range of a David Montgomery, of Philip Lindsay, back up to Melvin Gordon.
Lindsay's ADP is out of whack. It's dropping like a stone. And that's where, you know, again, we talked about him in nauseam, but I'm buying him at his new discount. But yeah, I mean, those guys you talked about, who was the first one you mentioned? You said before Lindsay.
I mean, Raheem Mostert, David Montgomery, who, you know, we like, but has his problems. He's there with Philip Lindsay. Yeah, other names in that range, David Johnson and Darius Geis. So really like the running backs where you make a face whenever, you know, like, oh, I don't want that. You know, like you make that face like, oh,
yeah.
You know, like I have bad memories of Geis just getting hurt all the time. And I have bad memories of David Johnson just like being a corpse of himself last year. And
I hear people that are like in on David Johnson this year. They're like, oh yeah. You know, they're citing that Carlos Hyde got 1,000 yards with Houston. I mean, he just didn't look good. Right. Chris. I mean, no way.
No, he didn't have any explosiveness. Like he looked like the third best running back on his team. Like, and by a significant margin, like your boy Drizzy Drake and Chase Edmonds looked significantly more explosive than him. Yep. And you sold me a lemon with David Johnson in our Keeper League. And,
There you go.
I believe that mid-first round value in the Cliff Kingsbury offense, but I was dead wrong.
It wasn't intentional. There's no way that we could have. You know what? David Johnson has been like literally the worst fantasy investment over the last 3 years. I mean, sitting out seasons where you couldn't even cut him because it was a hand injury. Last season just completely busted. I mean, he was going in the top five picks the last 3 years, and he hasn't even like you just had to park him on your bench and he's given you nothing. He's literally going to go down as the worst fantasy investment over the last half decade.
You got to say David Johnson's up there and he hurt his wrist. I still don't understand why the guy hurt his hand and all of a sudden he sucks now. Like, it's just such a strange thing. Like, he didn't hurt his leg.
How do we get slower from hurting his hand? That doesn't make any sense.
This guy's acting like he tore his Achilles. He didn't rupture anything. He just hurt his hand.
I think he was a pass catching running back that was, an oversized pass catching running back that when he had to go through the tackles, he just didn't look like an effective running back. So for fantasy, you know, getting the 80 catches, 1,000 yards rushing, receiving is huge. But after that dried up, you know, what else is there? Let's wrap soon. So let's pick one more.
Any other late round or mid to late round running backs that we kind of like? It's really tough right now without knowing where the rookies go.
Were you buying into Sony at all, Chris or Geek?
Oh, I'm definitely not buying into Sony. Fuck
not that. In the eighth round.
Nope.
I mean, in the eighth round, you certainly could justify it. But like, I mean, I've only been doing best balls right now that are full point PPR. So like, Sony's dead to me in full point PPR. Like, I just don't take them. Yeah.
Sony is just not. I mean, the Burkhead comes in at the goal line. I don't want a three-headed attack running back with knee issues. I'd rather take Rex Burkhead four rounds later. You might get just as much production out of him for two games this year, which is all that I really care about with my 12th round best ball pick. Anyway, at some point I'm like, all right. And where you could take Sony Michel, I'd rather take a high end backup. At that point, I'd rather just get Alexander Mathis.
Well, that's exactly who you're choosing, right? In the last draft that I did, Sony went in the first pick of the 10th round, and the three running backs that went after him were Tony Pollard, Latavius Murray, Boston Scott, guys like that, and Jordan Howard. I mean, Alexander Mathison went after him in the 12th round. I mean, that's literally, you're getting a starting running back in the 9-10 turn. I mean, a couple, Devontae Freeman and Zach Moss went before Sony in this draft. That probably wouldn't happen anymore.
But, I mean, was, do we count Sony Michel as a starter still?
Yes.
We're counting that?
You're not. Who's the starting running back in New England?
I mean, as of today, I would say Sony Michel.
Yeah, I guess.
They draft somebody. I don't think they're going to actually draft somebody that high, but I just, I hate, I've never enjoyed owning a New England running back. Like, it's just not a fun experience.
And right, but you've always had to pay third round, late second round for, you know, what was that guy? Who was the guy that who was the guy a couple years ago? Steven something, you had to pay a second round price or I don't remember. But for years, you're right, it was terrible. Even going back to Lawrence Maroney, it was just never fun. But
no matter who they've had, it's just a system. And now no Brady. We don't know.
10th round for the starter. Any starting running back in the 10th round, I'm interested.
I agree. Where he's being drafted, he's certainly got, I like him better than, like you said, in the draft I did last night, it was Jordan Howard, Tevin Coleman, Latavius Murray, Tariq Cohen going around him. So, yeah. Like, compared to those guys, sure. He definitely has more.
That's what I'm saying.
A ton more touchdown equity, but I think all these crappy names of like mid-round running backs that we've been mentioning, like, kind of enforce the point that like going running back start first three rounds, especially in a best ball, is not a bad strategy. Like,
let me tell you something. I've been doing for the 2 years that best ball has existed, or the 3 years, really. I can't remember 3 years ago. I just can't. But for at least the last two seasons, I pretty much get three or four running backs in my first four picks, at least three in my first four, and a lot of times four, because my philosophy with the best ball is I can just load up on wide receiver after wide receiver after wide receiver and just hope to cobble together a crew that will do well. But if I start every one of those wide receivers that I'm taking, even in the 14th, 13th, 12th, 11th round, is a WR2, is on the field all the time, whereas the running backs at that point are hope for an injury, or they won't, or they're bringing you a zero running backs. So I just kind of see where, if I'm trying to build depth, I don't care if I get a bunch of WR3s. Like, these guys put up a good week every fourth or fifth week. And if you have enough of them strung together, you know, it can sort of hold down that WR3. Listen, I was taking Hollywood Brown in the last pick and AJ Brown last year in those last couple picks. And those guys ended up coming through with a few good, not a lot. Everybody thinks Hollywood Brown had a great season. He had like three good games, but that was enough for your best ball league to like smash those weeks. And he was like your last pick in the entire thing. So anytime you get any contribution from that last pick in your best ball team, that's huge. That's like massive. That is how you win.
And just to add to that point quickly, the two receivers that bracketed Sony Michel in the draft I did last night, Will Fuller and who was the other one? It was Will Fuller and Mecole Hardman. Now, those are two. I'd much rather own either one of those guys than Sony Michel in a full point PPR.
I don't know about Mecole Hardman as a stud, but he could be a stud this year.
Well, I think Watkins is probably out of there, right? I think Hardman's going to be on the field retired. A lot more.
Watkins is retired. He's done.
Hey, all good points. And, you know, we spoke about Will Fuller a little bit earlier on the pod, and, you know, I want to get into him later. But because of the heavy traffic on streaming with YouTube and Facebook and all that, I see our stream is starting to get a little crackly. So why don't we end it right here?
We'll shut it down there.
And we'll continue this next time with a wide receiver section.
Absolutely. So this was a best ball, bold calls, pre-draft breakdown. Chris, thank you for being with us today. Again, where can we find you?
Just on my Twitter is the best place. Chris Felicetta, Felicetta. And it's always a pleasure to join you guys. I love the work you do at DFS Army. I feel smarter every time I listen to one of your shows. Appreciate it.
Compliments will get you everywhere.
That's true. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't. You guys do a great job, man.
Awesome. We appreciate it. So Chris, check him out. Chris Felicetta on Twitter. Talking best ball leagues, talking fantasy football. Good time. I've got Season Long Says here. Check him out at Alan Sizlowski.
Oh, yeah.
On Twitch, change that shit. No one can spell Sizlowski. I can't spell it. I know you for years.
If you can't find me, that you're missing out on all the good information. You guys try to find me on Twitter.
There's a lot of criticisms going, and no one's seeing it because it can't spell the name. I'm FFootballGeek on Twitter. You guys know me. We'll call it a Bold Calls podcast. And continue these as we approach NFL draft. As we approach the football season, we hope there'll be one, but we're going to be covering it just like there is. All right. Good luck. Good luck, everyone. And we'll see you in the lobby.